Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, and this is our third interview with Professor Bradley Montin. And Professor Montin is a professor of philosophy at the University of Colorado Boulder. And Professor Montin has been talking to us about his views as an atheist who is actually in support of intelligent design. And I know Professor Montin, in our previous podcast, we were talking about the Kitzmiller versus Dover ruling, and you had mentioned that you wanted to start asking me a question. So why don't you go ahead and launch right into that?
I'd love to put you on the spot for one issue, because I heard Ken Miller give a talk recently at Colorado State University where he said, basically, the Discovery Institute lost the Dover case. The Discovery Institute, you know, was involved, and then they lost, and it's bad for the Discovery Institute. And I know that you guys have a different view about that than Ken Miller does, in the sense that you weren't happy with the way that the Dover School Board was proceeding in the first place, and you didn't really want to be involved in the trial that much. And I was wondering if maybe you could just like quickly lay out the Discovery Institute's view on that, because I think
sure.
That might help people like Ken Miller who are saying that, you know, that you guys were completely involved in that.
Sure. You should be a cross-examining attorney, Professor Montin, because you just turned the interview around. Now you're interviewing the interviewer. But I'm happy to – we actually get that asked that question quite a bit, and I'm happy to talk about it a little bit. Discovery Institute, as many people who follow this podcast are probably aware, has for many years, long before the Dover trial even was on the radar screen, opposes mandating intelligent design into public school curricula. And the basic reasoning behind that is because, and you might appreciate this, Professor Montin, from things I've heard you earlier, that we really do want to see ID develop as a science. And that is our priority with intelligent design. Our priority is not to turn it into a political hot potato or forced into the classroom. It's really to see it develop as a science. And ID can't progress and develop as a science when its leading proponents are constantly dragged before courtrooms and school boards to defend policies which may or may not be conceived with the right motives or conceived in a wise pedagogical fashion. And particularly in the Dover case, Discovery Institute felt that the Dover School Board was not trying to implement a very smart policy. It was very poorly worded. It seemed like there were patent religious motives all over the place of some of the main Dover Area School Board members that were behind the policy. And aside from that, it became pretty clear to us early on that many of the Dover School Board members, they didn't even really know what ID was. So here you have a school board that is trying to push a bad policy for bad reasons, and they didn't even fully understand what they were doing. These were not the sort of folks that we wanted becoming the first major test case for intelligent design, but we weren't their attorneys. And so we didn't really have any say over whether they passed their policy, and then when they got sued, if they stood their ground and decided to go to court over it. But when we did talk to them, we were saying, this is a bad idea. Don't pass this policy. This is not a smart policy, both for you or for ID. And just to briefly give what sometimes we call a tale of two cities, a lot of people don't know that around the same time that Dover passed its ID policy, there was another school district in Grantsburg, Wisconsin, that was also considering how to teach this issue. And they were asking us, should we put ID into the curricula? Is that a good idea? And we said, no, don't do that. That's not going to be good for ID, and it's not going to be good for you. And so they listened to us, and they passed a policy that requires students to simply look at the evidence for and against evolution. I think the policy actually explicitly says this does not call for the teaching of ID. You know, have you ever heard of Grantsburg, Wisconsin, Professor Montin?
No, that's fascinating.
And then there's good reason why you haven't, and that's because they did not receive the kind of politicization publicity that came to Dover, which is exactly the way that we would have loved to have seen the history of Dover play out, that they drop this push to create an ill-conceived policy, simply do something that's smart and defensible, that will improve student learning, but won't politicize ID and bring ID into their political game that they wanted to play. So that's why you've never heard of Grantsburg, Wisconsin, and we wished that the same could be said for Dover. So anyway, Discovery didn't feel like getting heavily involved with defending a policy that we didn't agree with to begin with. And aside from that, obviously the whole reason why the Dover case went to court was because they had a public interest law firm that was pushing them to defend a policy that was really, really poorly conceived and had a lot of constitutional flaws.
Right.
Not, in our opinion, the mere fact that it was mentioning ID. We do think that in a perfect world, that should be considered constitutional.
Right.
But given how these cases play out, you don't want your test case to have all these other constitutional flaws, especially these patently religious motives that the school board members were lying about. So that was why Discovery Institute made a decision very early on that, you know, we were not going to be throwing all of our weight behind Dover. We submitted amicus briefs defending simply their desire to teach ID. And we actually urged the judge that if he was going to strike it down, strike down their policy on the grounds of the religious motives of the Dover school board members. We actually left that option totally open in our amicus brief to Judge Jones. We just said, you know, don't go into unnecessary questions about whether ID is science or religion and so forth. Leave that for another judge to decide if that comes up in a future case. And that's the real issue there. That shouldn't be the issue here. Judge Jones didn't take our advice. And then as far as Discovery Institute fellows, some of which did testify in the Dover case, some of which did not, we left it up to them. And if they wanted to testify, that was their choice. If they didn't, that was their choice. Michael Behe, Scott Minnick, they both chose to stay involved. Other Discovery fellows like Stephen Meyer and William Dembski, they chose not to get involved, and their decisions were largely made because, for one, they weren't fully on board with what the policy was in the case, and for two, they had some concerns about whether the Thomas More Law Center was going to adequately defend their own interests as expert witnesses involved in this debate. And, you know, I can go on and on and on about this. You know, Ken Miller likes to place the blame at the Discovery Institute. He likes to say a lot of things that, in my view, are not entirely accurate. The bottom line is that Discovery Institute, we passionately urged Dover to not pass this ID policy. We strongly recommended that they don't go to court over it because we saw the flaws. They didn't listen to our advice. So what more can I say?
It's all fascinating. And I mean, part of what's fascinating about it is that people are now misrepresenting what actually happened. And your story of what happened, it's so fascinating in itself, and there's no need to, like, tell a different story, right? I mean, you know, there are so many ways that intelligent design opponents could go about attacking intelligent design and attacking the Discovery Institute in ways that are intellectually honest and, you know, philosophically
well, thank you.
You know, and they may be wrong, but at least they'd be, like, intellectually honest.
No, sure,
it, right?
sure.
And, you know, it's just disappointing that the debate ends up being about these issues about, well, first of all, like as you pointed out, like we're sort of wasting our time talking about these legal issues when there are philosophical and scientific issues to be discussed. Also, it's disappointing that people are misrepresenting what actually happened in the case, because the story of what really happened is, you know, just worth talking about in itself. There's no need to confuse things by telling a different story.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying very much. And, you know, as far as just the intellectually honest critiques, maybe this can bring us full circle here. When I was recently debating a couple anti-ID folks at Western Washington University, I brought up Philip Kitcher, who actually in his book, Living with Darwin, makes a very, in my view, intellectually honest critique of ID. He says, look, ID is testable. It's science. It's dead science. He thinks it's dead science. He thinks it's wrong science. But he doesn't make the mistake that Judge Jones made and Robert Pennock made, that by saying that, you know, if we think it's wrong, then therefore it isn't science. And I think that that at least frames the issue, right? It's an intellectually honest critique. And so let's go debate that far more interesting question and far more reasonable question of whether ID is good science or bad science. And let's not, you know, get bogged down in these philosophical red herrings. But anyway, I'm supposed to be interviewing you, so I'm going to... I'm going to stop talking here, and I think that maybe we should move on to some more subjects in a future podcast. So,
okay.
Professor Montan, thank you very much for your good questions and your good answer.
Thanks, Katie.
Well, we'll stay tuned. We'll have some more with Professor Bradley Montan, Associate Professor of Philosophy at the University of Colorado Boulder. In the meantime, go check out his website. It's bradleymontan.com, where he has access to some of his writings as well as his blog. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so bradleymontan.com. Go check it out. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.